So our next talk will be about the development in the Czech Republic. And spoiler alert, you also will hear about a reform of the civil code as a whole, which included obviously also tort law. Luboš Tichý, I think, needs no introduction. He's from Charles University in Prague and obviously a very renowned speaker in many fields, including but not limited to tort law. Luboš, you have the floor.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and special good morning to Miguel. I'm very honored that I was invited to this event, and I thank also for the organization of this, which may be very enriching for everybody present here. So I will try to do it also in my paper. I may make sure everybody should have or may have the one page, one list of the content. I will follow in my paper. So I, as you may see, there are two parts, the general part and the special part, and I, in the first one, I would rather take in consideration some features from the neighborhood, from the history, and as Bernhard rightly said, this is not a comparative report. However, since there are some models which was included in the new short tort law in Czech Republic, I will deal also very shortly with these models, with these inspirations. So, first of all, I don't think it is naturally and self-evident, but in Czech history and legal history, it is evident that the tort law is a part of the civil code. And historically, be it in the tradition in the Austrian ABGB, which was in force until 1950, be it in two communist civil codes from 1950 and 1964, and also this is a true or the case in the existent civil code from 2012, which came in force 2014. An exception in terms that also a part of tort law is outside is not very important, but it is worth mentioning that the law concerning the liability of the public authority of public sector is traditional outside, and this is remains the situation even after the new civil code was introduced. Now, just a brief description of the historical context, which which plays important role. As I said, until 1950, the Austrian ABGB was the law, was the code applied on the territory of then Czechoslovakia, Czechoslovak Republic. It left significant mark in the further development, even absolutely enough, in partly in this communist codifications from 1950 and 1964. I would say maybe the Austrian lawyer Bernhard will correct me. This is a special concept in Austrian law, which slightly differs from the majority of conception in Western countries, which may be comparable. The characteristic general future that finds expression to this day is the paradigm of compensation for damage, compensation, Schadenersatzrecht. Schadenersatzrecht is the paradigm, and is a determining factor which, as a first sight, doesn't distinguish between torture damage and contractual damage. Important is the damages, the compensation. Since the prerequisite for compensation is the wrongful and usually culpable conduct. This is my understanding, my perception of the Austrian concept and the legacy of the concept in our conceptions since 50, the concept of the civil code, the first civil code, 1950. Just one sentence concerning the first civil code. This is also an interesting feature. This, the tort law, which is in this civil code, does not deviate much from Austrian concept, from Austrian tradition, in contrast to practically its other parts, first of all, including property rights, which was for the communist the major part and the most important part. Now, concerning the further development was the Civil Code 1964. Excuse me. It's hot in this room. The tort law in the Civil Code 1964, which was then changed by so-called then major amendment 1991, was, as to the tort law, also very moderate, balanced, and comparable to traditional laws. In contrast to the overall concept of this civil code, which was something different from its predecessor, manifestation of an innovation of the socialist legislator of the time, who, after building a socialism and adoption of the socialist constitution in 1960, decided to abandon, like in DDR civil code from 1975. This was the only for even within the Soviet blocks, Soviet bloc, the only follower of these Czech innovations. So abandoning the Roman tradition from the obligations, law of obligation and things like that. So this legislator and this civil code decided to abandon the tradition of Roman Roman law and make the civil code a tool for meeting the needs of workers or working people with the services provided by the socialist economic sector. The legislature preserved the basic concept of Austrian AGBB based concerning the tort law, based on a damages paradigm, as I already described, not to distinguish the breach of law and breach of a contract. And it brought, and this is maybe worth mentioning, brought in an innovation that from a long-term perspective proved to be a meaningful institution and ultimately an imminent part of tort law, not only in the divorced Czechoslovakia, but also in other system, including PETL. It introduced a law of prevention and of impeding damage. The Declarative General Clause concretized by Samaritan duty to report impeding damage and to take measures to avert it, imposed that time only on the citizen, not on the socialist organizations, including the sanction for failure to fulfill the duty to notify or take measures to avert damage, although its fulfillment would prevent the immediate occurrence of damage in form of obligation that the judge could impose in form of contribution to compensation for the damage as a penalty, if it could not be compensation otherwise. Maybe I will skip the further description of this second communist civil code and including the tort law. But worthy mentioning is that also the non-pecuniary damage is part of this communist civil code and is represent a sort of a legacy for the further development. In original wording, it was of this communist code to compensate immaterial damage as a compensation for pain, and pain in a very broad sense, and worsening a social position, Schmerzensgeld or Austrian Schmerzengeld, not by amendment from 1991, but also by act from the year 2004. And now I would, I didn't mention that, but I will follow the questions to be examined as Miguel posed. This is the terrification or baremization. Even under the old communist code, but enforced after the Velvet Revolution, this tariffication was introduced, and compensation for fame and worsening of social position was established by decree of Ministry of Health in agreement with Ministry of Labor and Social Affairs as relatively mandatory, mandatory regulation allowing for increase in compensation in exceptional cases. Now the second point of the general part, the reasons for the reform. The reasons for the reform are not that shocking, not that persuasive. The reason of the new tort law of the Czech Republic in the new civil code certainly didn't stem from the need to change the current tort law itself. Its concept, after the amendment from 1991, correspond especially after certain modification, not only to the basic European standards and Western European tradition, but also to the needs of practice. The references to some of the shortcomings as a reason in the explanatory report are partly inaccurate, partly exaggerated, as a rationalization, as the physicians said, the psychologists used to say, for the new tort law. The cause of the new tort law cannot be seen in the importance of the new technologies either. The new tort law in the Civil Code 2012 didn't reflect this phenomenon, and at the time of the establishment, and even later through an amendment. No amendment due a development of new technologies, nothing. The new tort law is more, that tort law is more precise and therefore more detailed. At the same time, two issues were included, two major fields in the new law, which until now had been regulated outside the civil law itself. This is the product liability and the liability for damages in unfair competition and in cartel law. So while the previous code, the previous tort law has only 35 provisions or sections, today it has 96 sections. Very shortly were the list. Very shortly about the structure. The civil code has the five main parts. The fourth part is about the law of obligation, and the law of obligation part has three chapters, and one of this chapter is about the tort law, and this has the two titles: the proper tort law, and then the tort law in unfair competition and in the field of the cartel law. That's as concerning the structure. Now, maybe the more interesting part is how this might be also allowed. Okay. Model of the new civil tort, Czech tort law. An explanatory report stated that the very sources of inspiration, according to the mentioned explanatory report, the legislator based his work on domestic tradition and Austrian ABGB. And even though it is emphasized that preparatory materials mentioning that the legislation learned from a new development trends, apparently from PETL, and was also influenced by the development in Quebec. It is interesting, and other country. We will go over back to this in more detail. Czech law took over the certain partial aspects, but the legislator failed to establish the new so that the new regulation is, or the legislation is not quite well organized compilation of various regulations, which can be criticized mainly for the systemic approach. Characteristic is the influence of basic concepts of German law and again as Austrian law, consisting, and this is very important, in adoption of two main rules of relatively narrow scope, namely the paragraph 123, para 1, and the transposition of the section 823, paragraph 2 of BGB. This is the liability for breach of the protective norm. As mentioned, the concept of intentional conduct against the good morals was transposed also from BGB, namely section 826, but in a certain narrow sense from when exercising his right as a wrongdoer only in two cases where the wrongdoer had as a main purpose of his action to harm of another person. From the German jurisprudence, also known in Austria, this is a concept of protective effect of contract. This is the regime protecting the third party whose interest was fulfilled under breach duty to serve. And this is very shortly, not only one sentence, in the Czech tort law. This is a para, there's a section 2913. The special rule of liability for damage caused by animal, also adopted from Germany, respectively from Austria, and directly by Austrian tort law, even though this provision was codified under influence of BGB, also constructed in Czech law the liability for damage caused by insufficient building maintenance, which, contrary to Austrian concept, is interpreted by prevailing doctrine as a liability without fault. It's not correct. A liability for damage caused by a thing has its roots also in Austrian law. Here, in addition to regulation of liability for damage caused by building damage is regulated specially liability for damage caused by a defective item in addition to liability for damage caused by a product defect. Now, the concept of non-pecuniary damage is influenced by the concept, by concept of paragraph or section 253 of German BGB, according to which, if there is no agreement between the parties, the non-pecuniary damage can be compensated only if it is provided by law. So, to my understanding, this is a slight discrimination of non-pecuniary damage. now, concerning the strict liability versus the fault, liability on fault. part is taken over from the German concept, according to which the wrongdoer is obliged to compensate the damage regardless of his fault only in cases specified by separately by law. So this is a clear warning in favor of liability based on fault. From the Union law, the legislation took liability for damage caused by the product and so on and so forth. This is not inspiring or not that interesting. But the inspiration from the Canadian province of Quebec, according to where the article of factual basis of acceptance of the victim's risk has been modified, including the presumption of the right to compensation for damage consisting in the assumption of the victim's risk, even if he acts imprudently. Imprudent conduct cannot be considered as a waiver of the right to compensation for damage against the person who caused the damage. The undoubted influence of Petl, the article 10.301, can be stated in case of a section when mental suffering can be compensated not only to the spouse, parent, child, or close person, but also to everyone who justifiably feels the harm caused as a person, personal in misfortune, in the case of particularly reprehensible action of the wrongdoer. So I will skip the farther passage concerning the methods of drafting. This was not well organized, this method, but still well effective, because without any major difficulties, the draft was then accepted by the parliament and came into into force 2014. Now, the further item, degree of completeness, as I mentioned, the scope was enlarged, as I already mentioned, but still the area of liability of the public sector remains be outside the civil code and the proper tort law. now I would go over to assessment very shortly. I already evaluated some features or some elements very critically, but I must say that also the legislation under the influence of the Austrian concept go a little bit farther. I would say that there is a remarkable weakness as to the homogeneity or consistency of the rules, as I already mentioned. The tort law, to me, represents a grouping of rules originating from different legal systems. Then also I would mention the prevention vis-à-vis the predecessor. Now the law on preventive duty or of its violation is quite balanced. Sanction for the violation of obligation to intervene on one's property is also satisfactorily resolved, as such a person bears responsibility for what he she could have prevented. The law does not include a notification obligation for the third party, even if notification, this is a slight weakness, even though the notification could have prevented damage for occurring. Now, there is also one section concerning accident, the regulation of liability for damage caused by accident is taken from the proven rule of ABGB. Then the wrongfulness is based on the law is based on wrongfulness and as an elementary requirement of the liability. A breach of contract should also be considered wrongful conduct. And in the event of breach of good morals, reliability requires an intent. Similarly, as I said, to the BGB concept. Now, maybe I would... How much time? 10 minutes?
Five to six.
Oh, I may... 5 to 6. There are many interesting items, but I will skip them because I'm still sorry. It's horrible. This is an item which is maybe interesting, especially what we yesterday in the group discussed as a concurrence between the contractual liability and the tort liability. Since the contractual liability as is constructed almost as an absolute liability, under the influence of CISC. So that the possible concurrence is diminishing, concurrence to the tort liability, which requires the fault. One hand, you have an absolute, a strict liability as to the contractual liability, and then you have a liability based on fault. Then the resolution is easier to make. And regardless of the satisfactory resolution of the strict liability in a strict regime for the contractual liability. I very much criticized, but nothing happened. The concept has not been changed. Now, maybe the prescription. That I will close by this.
Time limit.
I'm prescribed. So, almost. This is also interesting because the prescription is part of the general part of the civil code. And in this chapter of prescription are also included the rules concerning the claims stemming from the tort liability. So that's the Czech solution. The statute of press, and also maybe I would stress that one should distinguish between subjective and objective prescription or time of prescription. I would say better said objective and subjective start of running. This is important, and therefore we said we called this a subjective prescription an objective subjective. And the statute of prescription has not been substantially changed in relation to tort law. It therefore does not contain a special treatment, for example, special types of damage caused by, for example, new technologies. No technologies are not reflected at all. However, the so-called objective period of limitation. So this is the ceiling. This is the could not begin to run even after the end of the objective deadline. So the subjective period begins to run at the moment when the victim learned or could or should have learned about the circumstances decisive for the beginning of the prescription period. These circumstances include knowledge of the damage and the person liable or authorized for the compensation. The limitation period is, the subjective limitation period, is 3 years. The legislation then distinguishes between the three objective limitation period, as I said, this is the and the general period, excuse me, distinguishes between three objective limitation periods, so that are the limitation ceilings. The general period, this is a general objective period, is 10 years from the day the damage occurred. After a 15 years period is set for compensation for damage caused by intentionally or as a result of bribery. And it is essential that the ceiling of the limitation period and therefore the objective limitation of period does not exist in the case of damage of freedom, life, or health. So there is no ceiling, no limitation, no objective limitation period at all, and that's my end. Thank you very much for attention. The rest of my paper is reserved for the discussion.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, please. Just a second, wait for the microphone.
Thank you very much. So I'm Andrea Parziale, assistant professor of health law at Maastricht University, and I have a question regarding the calculation of damages in the Czech Republic, because I understood that the Czech Supreme Court introduced a methodology after the adoption of the new civil code to guide the calculation of some non-pecuniary damages. So I was wondering whether and to what extent this methodology is in line or diverges from the old normative tariffs of the socialist period. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. This is correct, what we are saying, that we abandoned this tarifical eschew the non-pecuniary damages or non-pecuniary damage. The Czech law abandoned these tarifical basis for calculation of compensation. However, the field of the decision of the judge is not only limits, and therefore there is a methodology created by judges of the special senate of the Supreme Court, the ministry of social affairs, and the Czech Lawyers Academy. So, and what they did is something very similar to the tarification, but the difference is that the position and the importance of this methodology items is also has also recountable influence. So it is not mandatory. There are rules. No question about that. There are rules very similar to the previous tarification, but they are not mandatory. So there are items for orientation only, right?
Okay, thank you. And do judges follow these recommendations, or do they tend to...
Yes. So this is a very interesting question, because this is very narrow to the altering of the significance of the human personality. And as the development is in Germany, for example, similar is in Czech Republic. The compensation rising very much. So there was a joke in the 90s saying in Czech Republic, you, the victim, you will getting $100, in Austria, 1,000, in America, 1,000,000. This is not correct in our times. And this is not only, the reason is not only in the tort law itself, that the reason is in the development of the society and social economic grounds or reasons are of main importance.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other urgent questions that keep us from coffee? All right, thank you very much. I would suggest that we take the coffee break now and cut slightly the time, so we meet again at 11:40, if that is okay.